Hi, it's Tyler from 94.7 WLS Chicago. You're listening to Adam Lepp on WGH Talk Radio. Adam
Lepp! And hello once again, my valued radio listeners. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, broadcasting via the power and magic of the internet at WWGH1071.com. M is for Mike Essen, one of my guests today. We're going to discuss politics and all kinds of other fun stuff, and Calvin Williams, my regular mate of the microphone broadcasting brother, will also be here, assuming that the intern has properly duct-taped and clasped all of the equipment, and normally she's very good at that. Of course, what would a show with Adam here, that's I, of course, be without some laughs, giggles, wisecracks, and other good stuff? So stay tuned here to The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, for about 44 minutes and 30 seconds worth of great conversation, some controversy, lots of laughs, and might even learn something. So first, let's see if my mates of the microphone have checked in. Calvin from the Pacific Northwest, are you present?
Yes, sir.
Glad to hear that. Good that the intern has properly done her job. And Mike from the sunny state of Florida, southern eastern part of the United States, are you present?
I am present. Thank you, Adam.
Mike, good to be back. Good to have you back. Haven't had a show with the three of us in a while. Well, before we continue with the program, I had a question, Mike. I heard a rumor. You know, there's been a lot of controversy about the WNBA and all those sports teams, and I imagine you and I and Calvin can not only agree with some of this stuff, much of which is completely absurd. I got to pinch myself to believe that it's actually real, but we can laugh a bit. You know, Mike, you have kind of a linebacker, offensive lineman build. You're kind of a big guy, husky guy. I heard you were going to try out for the Women's Football League. You were going to be transgender and try out to be a linebacker on the
You got me. You're right. You got me. I try to keep it a secret, but the internet say nothing's a secret.
The rumors are true. Now, I would not want to be a player, having you try to plow into me, because that would certainly be a recipe for a fumble. You might be the star of the Women's Professional Football League, Mike, and to think we knew you before you became famous.
Absolutely.
Before you started charging for autographs. So that's good. So I guess the rumors are true. So folks, watch out for Monster Mike. Might be renamed as Michaela, just to keep things more logical. On the Women's Tackle Football League team near you. Should be pretty exciting. You're a much braver human than I am, Mike. I'm not sure I'd want to do that, but I'm glad you would, and I'm sure you will become famous and rich and hopefully share the wealth a little bit. A lot of news stories, guys. Since we last got together, pretty much can go A through Z. I think I made the implication that controversy with the WNBA and exactly what kind of chromosomes a human being should have or thinks he or she has to play on a certain league or a certain team. I would imagine the three of us agree on this, and we can laugh because it really is completely ridiculous. Mike, I'm sure, and Calvin, I'm sure you guys heard about the two people, gentlemen, both with beards, I believe, who want to say they're transgender and join the WNBA. So, I mean, I'm not really exaggerating, Mike. You very well could say you're transgender and join a women's professional football league. I mean, I'm really not kidding. It's funny, but it's totally ridiculous. And as my mama always said, the truth is stranger than fiction. So, again, Mike, I know we agree on this, but what are your thoughts? Do you have to pinch yourself this is actually happening? But maybe it's a good thing because it's going to prove a point. What are some of your thoughts? I'm sure you have a few.
I think we have the exact same thoughts. That's why I was kidding around earlier to make a point that I could self-identify as a woman and just ruin their sports. It's completely absurd. I mean, that's as absurd, Adam, as me saying I want Social Security. I'm 67. You know, you have to be 65 to get it. I'm really 55. Or I have green eyes. I don't have blue eyes. What you're genetically predisposed to is what you are. You can't change that. I can't be 5'5". I can't be 7 foot. I'm 6'4". But when you're pushing it on other people, like this case is, Sophie Cunningham is brave. She's heroic. She's a heroine. And for her to get the flack she is calling her a white supremacist, it happens to do with every conservative cause these days or anything the far left doesn't like. I think, and the whole issue is when men can say they're pregnant, that's an absurdity. When Ketanji Brown Jackson doesn't know what a woman is, of course he does. She's saying it to make a point. She can't be that stupid. This whole issue of self-identification and transgenderism is an absurdity. And I think it's playing out, and the silent majority is speaking. We're speaking very high. It's on the media. It's on the mainstream media. It's on Hollywood. It's on this show. It's on my show. And it's on all the shows I hear in the country, Ben Shapiro, Mark Levin, Sean Hannity, what have you, and that's my opinion.
Yeah, I think the fact that these gentlemen are doing this, I mean, it takes bravery, as people are laughing, but we're laughing because we support them. I would never have, you know, as they say in Florida, the cojones. It's kind of an irony there to do that. So I really do admire them, but they're right. I mean, anybody can just self-identify. I don't know what else to say. We're totally in the twilight zone. Again, my mama said, truth is stranger than fiction. But in this case, it really is proving a point. And maybe this will be the final the final piece in curing this problem. Do we need to go ahead and give genetic testing, chromosome testing to all athletes who claim to be female? To me, it's like, wrestlers, they often will test for steroids. And should it be necessary? No. And again, my political beliefs are very libertarian. I identify as independent. I'm really not as conservative as a lot of people think. In fact, I'm quite liberal on a lot of issues. But what I do believe in is our liberties. Should we have to go through testing for everything? But there's really no choice at this point. And sometimes it may not be obvious. You certainly can fool people. All this AI ways that we can manipulate the system, we kind of need to get to the bottom of it. And as I've mentioned on previous shows, there are gray areas. There are people with karyotypes that are not XY or XX. For example, XXY is more common than a lot of people think it is, Klinefelter syndrome. But as I see it, if you have a Y chromosome, you are a male, especially for the purpose of sports. Now, there are anomalies. There are people that are intersexed. Again, even if it happens for one person out of the population, it does need to be addressed. But certainly it is exaggerated. And for the case of sports, as I see it, Y chromosome, you are male. Not necessarily consistent with how you might look or what your actual strength is. But we do need to test for chromosomes at this point. It's a shame that this has to be done, but I don't know the alternative. I would think, being 2026, any kind of genetic testing, DNA testing, is certainly advanced. It's quicker, easier, less expensive than it used to be. So technology has allowed this.
I agree. I want to say something else, if I may. This is part of a larger picture for the left-wing progressives. I am a staunch conservative, as everybody knows. The far progressive left, the Bernie Sanders, the Mohammed El-Sayeds, the Bozoran Mondamis, the squad, things to trace ever in Congress, they want to destroy the family. They want to destroy the meaning of family like it was the Communist Manifesto, and they're doing it. I wouldn't say they're doing it successfully, but they're doing it successfully too often, and it's very scary.
It would certainly seem like we have this divisiveness. Or Scott would say divisive. I say divisive, but whatever you say, we can be divisive about the pronunciation, but not about the fact that we have a country that really is being torn apart. A bit of a cold civil war here. And the classic Democratic Party, the party of Clinton and Jimmy Carter even, quite different from what we're seeing right now. Clinton, to me, seems like a very very conservative economically compared to Mayor Mamdani and his government-run grocery stores, and the previously mentioned squad, and many big city mayors, the Chicago mayor, the Columbus mayor, and many others. And I think the United States needs to cure itself. We need to be on the same team. Whether that will actually happen, I don't know, but it certainly has happened in my lifetime and Mike's lifetime, and I would think at the beginning of Calvin's lifetime. Just have to take the wait-and-see attitude. Adam here on The Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, discussing politics, controversial topics, and just about everything else with my brothers in broadcasting, Mr. Mike Essen in Florida, and Calvin Williams in the great state of Washington. but very close to the Idaho border, no longer actually living in his own private Idaho, as the song says, but quite close nonetheless. Mike and I, Calvin, are fairly close in age, and Calvin, you're a little bit younger, but again, you come across as quite a bit older than you are, which I guess is a good thing. In your lifetime, Calvin, from early teenagerhood, is that a word? Early teenage years to now, again, you're about 23, 24, I believe. You've seen a lot of this transgender sports stuff. What are your thoughts? Do we need to have chromosome testing? Is there a way to cure this? Is it exaggerated? Are you as disgusted with this as Mike and I are? What are some of your thoughts?
Honestly, with the transgenders in sports, I would have thought the whole thing a while back with Leah Thomas was going to be the end of that argument. But the way things have been progressing, I think genetic testing is the only sure way to know and to make sure that other people aren't getting an unfair advantage over others. Outside of my own talk radio career with you guys, I listen to talk radio all the time when I'm at work, and it's been a frequent discussion topic on Sean Hannity, Mark Levin, like Mike said, and everyone seems to be in agreement that genetic testing is more or less going to become a requirement going forward.
Again, it's like the steroid testing, and it's in baseball also. It's just fascinating that Roger Clemens, arguably, statistically, from an intimidation standpoint, one of the best pitchers of my generation, not in the Hall of Fame, because later in his career, he was discovered to be a steroid user. And Barry Bonds, which totally dumbfounds me. The guy was so talented, has great bloodlines. Why did he even have to use steroids? And his appearance changed so much. His head just kind of swelled up. His whole body. You look at early pictures of Barry Bonds, you wonder if it's the same person. And Roger Clemens wasn't quite as obvious. I don't think his use was that extreme. But again, someone with some of the best pitching statistics ever, not just in my generation, not in the Hall of Fame. And that's due to the steroid testing. And wrestlers, again, often tested for steroids. So do we have to do the same thing for all sports? Where does the testing stop? Do we need to do it in schools if somebody claims, well, I'm a girl, but really a boy, or maybe is just confused? Maybe the parents are confusing them. Where do we draw the line with this? So what do you think, Mike? Should genetic testing for chromosomes, be something as commonplace as taking your blood pressure, or is there some kind of a border we can draw? And what are your thoughts? Again, I think we've discussed this before when we talked about sports, on players like Roger Clemens and Barry Bonds, who may never be in the Hall of Fame despite these great stats.
Regarding the genetic testing, absolutely, in schools, even more so than sports, because you're dealing with children. Right now, the perverted left out there, the perverted groups out there, I'm not talking about LGBT people. I'm talking about the activists, the far left activists, are sending puberty blockers over the heads of parents. They're grooming kids. We need genetic testing. It's outlawed just at the same time, so this stops happening. Kids should not be pawns of people's experiments. That's irreversible child abuse, and it's more necessary. I don't think steroid users should be in the Hall of Fame, Adam, because even though Barry Bonds started without him and Roger Clemens, A-Rod did him the whole career. Mark McGwire, Sammy Sosa, Rafael Palmeiro, we don't know if they would have had those statistics without steroids. So I can't give Barry Bonds and Mark McGwire the same props as Willie Mays and Babe Ruth, who never took him and were the two greatest players of all time, in my opinion.
Yeah, it really is a shame. Like, why does Barry Bonds even need them? Why would Roger Clemens need them? These people have enormous talent. You know, look at what Pete Rose did with arguably less natural talent. He was just such a hustler. And again, the guy was not a saint. I miss him every day. I mean, probably my favorite player of all time, but you know, as a Reds fan, certainly that is logical. I don't think he ever touched one drop of steroids, and look how much he made out of less natural talent than some other players. And Barry Bonds, and thinking who his father is, very gifted player. I think he would have done better without the steroids. He might not have had as many home runs, but defensively, And for average, I think he would have done better. I mean, and the way it affected his body, too. Steroids are so dangerous. I go to my gym and there's a sign in the bathroom about the dangers of steroids. Maybe they'll help you hit a home run or kick that winning field goal. But in the end, you're going to come out on the losing end. And it really is a shame.
Lyle Alzado was killed. Remember that Lyle Alzado, the great football player for the Oakland Raiders? He died for steroids.
Ken Caminiti also. He was, I believe, in his late 30s.
Right. And I
don't think an outstanding defensive player. I remember he was a terror against the Reds with his defense and a great hitter. Mm-hmm. And just really a shame. And it does affect people in different ways. And we do need to put a lid on this. I mean, these are similar in some ways. And with all of our current technology and the grooming, as you mentioned, it really is child abuse. We do need to cure the situation. I mean, we can make jokes about Mike being a linebacker for a women's football team, but honestly, it's possible. That's how ridiculous this has become. Again, guys, we are taping the show on the second week of August, 2026, and the story about the two male basketball players wanting to join the WNBA will have developments, possibly even before the show is aired the second or third time. What do you think is going to happen, Mike? Are they going to go ahead and allow these players, beards and all, to be on the WNBA because essentially they are eligible? Are they going to go ahead and finally get their head screwed in properly and require genetic testing, require a lie detector test to make sure you're really a female? What do you think they're going to do? I mean, the WNBA has this woke reputation.
Not at this point, because they're way too woke, and a lot of people, you know, Hollywood will threaten to pull from them, the woke corporations will threaten to pull from them, so I wish I could say they would, but they won't. But over time, there will be a revolt of people like us, or people like, you know, the talk show host we mentioned, or even the 80% of the public who agrees with us, will turn their TVs off, will not go to their games. They're talking about boycotting them a lot. And it's just going to be not an immediate reversal, but I'd say in the next 5 years it'll reverse it.
Okay, well, it's worth waiting for then. Do you see this, Mike, as I do, a nonpartisan issue? Where there's no Democrat-Republican here. It's science. And again, I was a chem major. I didn't major in anatomy, or I didn't go to med school, but this doesn't require a PhD or an MD degree from Harvard. I don't understand how anybody could dispute this. There are differences between men and women. And even if there weren't these strength and body structure differences, there are still issues of privacy and male-only spaces, female-only spaces. And again, I don't care how many hormones that you've taken, how many operations, how many body parts have been cut off. There are differences. You can identify as a man, be a female, and I will support you. I'm in favor of freedom of speech, freedom of expression. Mike, I think you would agree with me on that. I'll support you.
You have right to say it, yes. You have right to the benefits that women get.
Yeah, and I think Calvin also would agree. But when it comes to playing sports, and any sport, and not just, I mean, contact sports, as far as I'm concerned, you're committing assault if you're playing on the wrong team. But even a sport like swimming, you are cheating. I don't call transgender athletes, just like I don't call COVID a pandemic. I don't think it was a pandemic. I think it was a scam. But I'll call it the COVID situation kind of as a neutral term. You know, that's a whole other argument. But when it comes to sports, athletes play fair. And I guess I'm a little hypocritical saying, okay, Barry Bonds was an athlete. Well, he was before he took steroids, and he was a cheater. And why he took steroids, I don't know. But someone who plays a sport pretending to be a female when you're obviously a male, I don't care how many hormones you've taken, how many body parts you've cut off, etc. You're not an athlete. You're a cheater. You're a scam. And you're also a crybaby. I think we can...
I agree completely. I want to say I think it's become a partisan issue, unfortunately. It shouldn't be a left-right issue, but it is the left that's pushing the woke agenda, the WNBA. I mean, the Democrat Party, I'm not talking about mainstream Democrats, if there even is such a thing anymore. The people we're talking about, even Elizabeth Warren, people like Chuck Schumer, they love this philosophy. Gavin Newsom has a state-sanctioned grooming state in California. He should be in prison to me for child abuse. And it's the conservative Republicans like Todd Blanche, Josh Hawley, and Donald Trump signed an executive order about it, Ted Cruz, you name it. it has become a divisive partisan issue. It's a shame to me that we've come this far, but we have.
It really is. Any thoughts, Calvin, again, as a person, goodness sakes, almost, see, it's thundering out where I am right now. So I think the thunder kind of fits the mood, doesn't it? Anyway, Calvin, as someone, you know, goodness sakes, almost two generations younger than I am, what are your thoughts? You've not been an adult and not seen this cheating by people pretending to be something they aren't. Do you have a solution for it? Do we just need to do testing and test people like we test blood pressure? Any thoughts? And are you as disgusted at this as we are? Anything you'd like to add? You always have a comment or two for us.
Yeah, I mean, I'm just as disgusted as you guys are. I see it as nothing more than a way to get an unfair advantage. And one thing I wanted to bring up, I heard about this on talk radio while I was at work last week, but kind of like what we did at the beginning of the show to kind of try and prove a point, Clay Travis and his offer of $10 million to the Las Vegas Aces to play against a high school basketball team of his choice. What do you guys think about that? And the fact that so far the WNBA has been silent on his offer.
It reminds me of an episode I saw on Different Strokes. This is very relevant. Willis Jackson was going out for the beauty pageant. And I mean, it's a brilliant ploy because it shows the ridiculousness of saying that the genders are interchangeable when they're completely not.
Definitely. And again, I think I know more than enough about science, but this is just a common sense thing. If you would have, you know, told me 30 years ago about this, I would have said, you're a total, this is ridiculous. I try to wrap my head around this. I just am at a loss for words, and I hope that the United States and any other country with this particular problem, and it is a serious problem, can cure itself. And we can be on the same side again. There can be differences, but I really prefer that being on the same side. So Adam here with Mike Essen and Calvin Williams, a detailed discussion about the transgender sports issue, with a laugh or two peppered in, just to make it fun, because you gotta laugh a little bit. Mike, we've not had you on the program for a few months, and so I will ask you now, because I told you there was no preparation for this show. I'm going to go ahead and talk, and if I sound ridiculous, if I pause, that's just the way it's going to have to be. But so far, so good. I get myself at least an A-. So, Mike, what is your... Sorry?
You're doing great.
I'm trying my best, Mike, and I appreciate that. We're going to talk about your other radio shows, which you have started doing and enjoying and getting a lot of good feedback on soon. But let me ask you, as we are, you know, somewhere around the middle of the term, what kind of a grade do you give our president, Donald J. Trump? He's now 80 years old, our second president, second in a row to be 80 plus. Mm-hmm. What kind of a grade do you give him? Any good and bad? Any thoughts about the part two of the Donald presidency?
I like his executive orders more than the execution of what he does a lot of the time. Let me explain to you what I mean. I love his executive orders on the gender transitioning of kids, stopping birth tourism, Sharia law, all that. But it's like in Iran, it was good we went in, but I don't think he's fighting it the right way. I think you either have to get in or get out, and he's dragging the war on too much. I was very much offended by his mental health cuts. That's a very big thing for me and in my state, where Ron DeSantis has been a mental health champion. I think his power hungriness is hurting him a little bit. Like talking for a third term, that's unconstitutional. He needs more respect for the rules. I give him about a C.
Yeah. So I think we kind of agree. We like a lot of what Donald Trump has done, what he stands for. But as a man, he needs to stop acting like a spoiled fifth grader, more professional in general, and not have these pie-in-the-sky thoughts, the third term, et cetera. And things like net neutrality, I think he needs to understand that. You know, we like that he shakes things up. As I mentioned, it's kind of like your sports coaches, Mike Ditka, Billy Martin, Lou Piniella. The mean ones, you know, and they're really, and they can be teddy bears inside, but on the outside, they're mean and crusty. They tend to get the job done. Look at Lou Piniella and the 1990 Reds. But yeah, from what I've heard on the inside, Lou Piniella is a really good guy. Fun to talk to, very smart. But as a coach, yeah, he knows how to be a how to be a, well, word rhymes with switch, let's put it that way. And we need that in a president to an extent, but the president of the United States is, for all intents and purposes, the leader of the free world and should conduct him or herself in a professional manner. Donald Trump really should work on that. But again, being 80 years old, as my mama also said, you can't teach an old dog new tricks. That's kind of how he is. But certain some of his policies, not being afraid to flip the switch, we do like that. But he does need to watch his mouth and watch his actions. I would tend to agree, Mike. I'll give him a C. Yeah, again, it's a hard job. Again, he did choose to run for president and won. So also, as my mama said, be careful what you wish for. But I'll give the guy a C because I think he has accomplished a few things and has shaken stuff up a little bit. And I do think he means well. He does love his country. He does have a weird way of showing it, but that's kind of how it is sometimes. And what are your thoughts, Calvin? And what do you give Donald Trump as a grade as we enter the middle of his second term?
Honestly, I agree with everything that both of you just said. I couldn't have put it any better than myself. I like the executive orders. The execution could be done better. And a lot of the things he does and the way he acts is very childish. And I could see why other countries don't take us seriously.
Yeah, pretty much sums it up. But you do need to shake things up a little bit, and sometimes his way of shaking is a little too drastic, to put it that way. Adam here on the Talking Place, WGH Talk Radio, home of the interviewer to the stars, Mr. Scott E. Spears, also known as S.S. Pears. We discussed that on his program a few months back. So, Mike Essen, you are also with us today, and you have revived your talk radio career since the last time we talked, and people all over the place are listening to you, commenting on you. Why don't you tell us about the other radio programs, TV programs, satellite news services, etc., that you are currently partaking of?
Yes, you can go to MikeEssenShow.com, MikeEssenShow.com on YouTube. Please subscribe to the Mike Essen Show. I had a Christian Family Coalition leader. I debated a more progressive, though this isn't a left-right issue, legalizing marijuana, which I oppose. Well, soon I'm going to have to debate birthright citizenship, which I vehemently oppose against the big liberal of Palm Beach. And I've had someone from Susan B. Anthony list. I've done some shows alone. I did one alone, which I'm very proud of, where I talked about how the far left has not become just socialists, they become far out communists. And I'm getting a lot of feedback. Speaking opportunities are very possible. Alveda King was going to come on the show because she works for Fox. That was a contractual obligation. It was hard for her. And I love being back on the air. I love speaking my mind. I have strong opinions, as you all know. I believe correct, but they're not just opinions. They're not facts.
Yeah. One thing we like about Mike is he's not going to tell you that you're stupid, you're crazy, go back to grade school if you don't agree. Mike is the epitome of the person where you can shake hands and disagree, even if it's a vehement disagreement. I mean, Mike and I do not agree on abortion. I'm extremely pro-choice. Calvin is also pro-choice, maybe not as pro-choice as I am, but we certainly are divisive from Mike, or Scott would say divisive. I think abortion is wrong, except in some cases, such as rape. But as a form of birth control, if you wish to do it, it is your body, the woman's body. Just want to clarify that. Planned Parenthood, it is women who are pregnant, not birthing people, by the way. It's not a pleasant thing to do. It's a mean thing, but I think it should be legal. That's my libertarian type attitude. Obviously, it should be done as soon as possible, but I'm very pro-choice, let's put it that way. But Mike and I can disagree, and we can still shake hands and be friends and respect each other. That's pretty amazing. We've talked about abortion a lot. We're not going to talk about it on this program. I just spewed forth my viewpoint, which I think people know anyway. The marijuana thing, Mike, is kind of interesting. I believe Calvin is in favor of a legalization. I'm not 100% sure, but I would suspect he probably is. I'm not saying I think people should use marijuana. Actually, I do think it has medicinal value, and it is better than other drugs like alcohol in many cases. But I do think it should be legal, regulated and taxed. You shouldn't go to Walmart and smoke a joint. But if you want to smoke pot in your home or in a designated pot smoking area, go for it. And again, tax it, make money off it, just like alcohol. So we ask Mike, why do you think marijuana should be illegal? Do you disagree that it's not physically addicted, that it's not really that dangerous? I mean, what is your reason for the strict notion that marijuana should be something which is illegal? Should the penalty, and what kind of penalty should we have? How should we change this? Because right now the trend is obviously toward legalization.
Good question, Adam. My reasons are because in the states where it's been legal, like, and I'll talk about the effects in a second, like Colorado and Washington, drug driving has gone up tremendously. That's according to their own statistics. Marijuana causes hallucinations, according to the child psychiatry department in Harvard and many other sources. It causes psychosis. So it affects other people, too, outside yourself. Also, it's the same receptor in the brain as heroin, so it definitely leads to higher drugs. So you're taking that, you're potentially taking higher drugs. It's completely destructive, and it affects society too. With taking something that dangerous, which affects other people, is socially acceptable as drinking a Coke Zero, we're in trouble. I think this is one of the things I was very upset at the president for is that he endorsed legalizing recreational marijuana in Florida. Our beloved governor, I love Ron DeSantis, said, no, that's a bad idea. That's my logic. That's my stand. I had a debate on this on my show against some attorney from Broward County.
So, Mike, you don't see the libertarian attitude that I do, that you don't like pot, don't use it. I'm not telling people they should use it. You don't think people are going to use it anyway, that we might as well tax something which is used, something that people have used ever since we were born and before that? Well, what do we do? Do we make – and what kind of a
– sorry, go ahead. Well –
what kind of a penalty do we make for someone who grows it, sells it, uses it? What should it be as strict as meth or crack? What do we do to move things to where pot is considered that dangerous drug and one that is results in criminal penalties if again used, sold, or grown?
I want to address both points you made, Adam. First of all, people don't stop any crime. People do every crime: car theft, jaywalking, streaking, you know, bank robbery. I'm not comparing it to bank robbery, though it could lead to that, for psychosis. The idea is to make things less common is by making it illegal. I would do so much community service. As second offense, probably jail. So like drunk driving, I don't think I'd put you in jail the first time, but you would serve a penalty and treatment the first time. I think there is a difference between meth and marijuana, but it leads to meth, and I think it's better to have harsh penalties and to make it something that's irreversible you can't take back.
Do you see any medicinal value with marijuana, people with glaucoma taking it? Originally, people that had AIDS would take marijuana in the pill form because they'd lost their appetite, and that marijuana does give you the munchies, and you could take a pill instead of smoking it. I mean, smoking does certainly have its own health issues, but you can use pot in many different ways, and the gummies are very popular, for example. Is there any medicinal value, or should it just be illegal altogether and use an alternative?
Alternative, I'll tell you why. If there were no loopholes involved, I could understand it. But if you want to make it medicinally legal, people will lie and use it for every purpose. And there's so many other ways to treat those problems. Let me give you an analogy. Yeah, I was against federal funding for embryonic stem cell research. Dead issue a long time ago. I argued that adult stem cells cures make more diseases than embryonics does. But in this case, it's not only a gateway. It's a tidal wave for recreational marijuana without the title being there. It's just the loopholes are endless, so I would not allow it.
So, Calvin,
I used to think differently on that.
Yeah, what are your thoughts? Are you more the Adam side, the Mike side, or do you have your own side?
Well, so the way I see it, Mike, this will have to be one that we'll just have to agree to disagree on. Obviously, I live in Washington, which is a legal state, and I actually partake myself. And the way I see it, it's about moderation, because I have lots of issues with lower back pain because I have a couple pinched nerves in my back. I'm also a type 1 diabetic, and marijuana has actually been shown to help with being able to get some better control over your blood sugar. They've done studies on it, and it helps with my back pain. Now, I don't light up every day, every opportunity I get. I only smoke it maybe once a week, twice a week, if that. It's about moderation. Like, I don't see it as a problem as long as you use it responsibly, just like alcohol. And further going into that, some people know this, some people don't, but I actually used to be a very bad alcoholic, and I've been sober for over 6 months now, but part of what helped me quit drinking was marijuana, actually.
So, Mike, what are your thoughts on that? We know Calvin's a smart person. He's made a logical decision. And at your age, Calvin, especially with the diabetes, quitting drinking, that's commendable. And I commend you for that. And it's not easy. Marijuana is thought of as not physically addicting. Now, almost anything is emotionally addicting. I mean, I like to eat pizza. I'm not physically addicted to it. But if somebody puts a pizza in my face, it will likely end up in my stomach. Let's put it that way. But physical addiction, such as with cocaine or meth, or nicotine and alcohol, is very serious. So knowing Calvin, at least virtually, Mike, what are your thoughts on what he just said? Do you think he should just quit?
It was logical, though I have issues with it. I'm sorry about his conditions. I'm glad he was able to quit drinking. But I do think the marijuana, I think not everybody is controlled or has the willpower Calvin does. Many people have abused that drug. Many people Mike Hill from the Florida legislature said that a study was done that cocaine users, heroin users, said they all got to start on marijuana. And when you look at the drive, the drug driving, the hallucinations, the psychosis, the things that go on with it, I mean, if we could get tougher penalties work, I would be for them. I don't think we have to go ridiculous. I mean, I'm not going to say go barbaric, but if we give people community service to the point where they don't want to do it anymore, I believe death penalty deters. I'm not talking about for marijuana. I'm just using this as an analogy. I think that would deter as well.
Okay. Well, again, we can agree to disagree. And what's amazing is about with Mike, if you disagree with the guy, even on a very sensitive topic, I would say abortion is much more sensitive than marijuana. Plus, your opinion is very strong on abortion. We could still be friends. We understand how we feel.
Absolutely.
And we need more of that. Because right now, if you look on social media, that certainly is not the case. But it's interesting talk about marijuana, though, is... It's a fascinating topic. We got medicinal value. How is it addicting? Again, almost anything is emotionally addicting because you enjoy it. Like I mentioned, I like pizza, but I'm not physically addicted to it. I could do without pizza for a month, but I wouldn't be happy because I like it. And like most Americans, pizza is one of my favorite foods. So I'm hardly alone in that. Pot being a little different, it has the medicinal value, arguably. It has the makes you feel good, makes you feel high value. It does help with pain. Again, that's an arguable argument, I guess that's a word. And certainly in many states, dispensaries are as commonplace as a 7-Eleven or a gas station. And so it does help the tax base. So interesting topic for sure. I'm glad we could address
it. Real quick, Mike, I will say I do agree with what you said. There needs to be certain penalties and restrictions in place still, because people out there do abuse it. Not everybody has the kind of willpower that I have. Like, before I use it, like, it's usually directly before going to bed. I never drive after smoking. I never do anything like that. But there are absolutely people who will do that and need to be held accountable.
Yeah, and that applies.
We do agree on that, absolutely.
Yeah, applies to almost anything. And I guess that keeps sociologists in business, talk show hosts in business, and just about everything else. Adam here with Mike Essen and Calvin Williams on The Talking Place, about 6 minutes left in our program of fabulousness. So any other topics to discuss, Mike? I think we've delved deeply into a few. I'm sure you got a couple up your sleeve, though.
Yes, one thing I'm going to debate, and I'm already going to start preparing, but it's something I very much oppose, is birthright citizenship. It's very scary to me that a foreigner could come to this country, have a kid, drop him off. He could be a spy from China. He would cost billions or trillions a year maybe off that. And I think immigration is something you and I don't have a lot of similarities on, but I think birthright citizenship is a very bad idea. I look forward to it. I'm being a very kind man, a man I get along with really well. So I'm looking forward to that. I'm also I'm very concerned about the midterms because I'm not saying the Republicans are all peachy keen. I've had it out with the party before, but the Democrats are very scary today with their radical communistic and anarchistic ideas. I mean, no police, no jails. It's very scary. Vote Republican, guys.
Yeah, I would tend to agree. Maybe not to that extreme, but I'm none too pleased. Let's put it that way. But the party of Bill Clinton, even Jimmy Carter. I mean, Jimmy Carter, you know, not a great president, but a good man, middle of the road on a lot of issues, and very smart. And Bill Clinton, a wizard with wizard. How do you say that on live radio? With the economy, of course, the best treasurer ever, Mary Ellen Withrow. That certainly helps. Speaking of Mary Ellen Withrow, Calvin, I knew I forgot something. The little present that I sent you and your lovely fiance. What do you think about it?
I love it. I actually finally got a frame for the bills, and they're on the wall in our living room.
Tell me and Mike about that present. I knew I forgot to ask you something, and now I remember. So tell Mike about it also. I don't think he knows what we're talking about.
So Mary Ellen Withrow autographed a couple of dollar bills for us.
That's cool. I like that. It's very nice of sharing.
And, you know, she's, we don't like to mention her age, but she's older than I am, which is getting harder and harder by the year. She still lives in Marion. She's on the radio station a lot, including the video program that Scott does about every Wednesday. And I was in town not long ago, and I had her sign a couple bills, actually three, one for me. I already had one, but I got another one, and one for Calvin and one for his lovely fiance. So that was sort of cool, and I'm glad that you have displayed them, Calvin. And I think, Mike, you would agree. I mentioned Bill Clinton. He seems quite Republican by today's standards. Again, economic wizard, balanced the economy. Again, sometimes he had trouble, like, keeping his pants on, but if we overlook that, I think in many ways, we like the fact that he was middle of the road, if not conservative. And I consider him the best president in my lifetime. As I mentioned, Mary Ellen Withrow, sentimentality aside, she was a great treasurer who helped redesign the money, made it more secure, made it better looking. So cabinet posts obviously are important. But any thoughts on Clinton, Mike, before we wrap up the show? I'm kind of switching gears a little bit. Do you see him as being, you know, rather
president?
Yeah, I mean, yes. I mean, as a man, he wasn't perfect, but I'm not perfect either, nor is anybody else that I know. But economically, he just seems so conservative compared to the communist communist sympathizing economics of the Democratic Party currently. Yes.
Yes, I think he did cite well for reform and Trump's size of government. That I give him credit for. He'd be like Bill Maher, not only one part of the party if he was active, because, or like John Fetterman, because it's gone too radical for him. They would never think of welfare reform or shrinking the size of government. My problem with this president wasn't the Lindsay thing so much. It was his foreign policy, which was such a disaster. He did nothing about terrorist attacks. He went into his dismantling the missile defense system, his going into countries which I didn't think were necessary. I think that was his weakness. His strength was the economy. He did, like I told you before, he shrunk size of government. The welfare reform is a signature achievement. I give him a C as president because the foreign policy does matter.
Yeah, all presidents have their strong and weak points. I think even the biggest detractors would agree. Clinton was pretty good economically, domestically. Foreign policy, yeah, probably not his strong point. And again, sometimes running his mouth a bit. I mean, I think that's small potatoes compared to Trump. But we do have presidents, I think, that conducted themselves in the most dignified manner. Even Obama. I can't say I'm a fan of Obama, but I think you would agree, Mike. He did come across well, eloquent, obviously very smart and educated, and presented himself well. But again, what he was presenting, we may not have agreed with. So we can't kind of take
I agree with you.
Yeah, we can't take all these pieces and make the perfect president. That would be nice. But that wouldn't. And then, if that happened, we wouldn't have all the great fodder for these radio talk shows, would we?
What would the controversy be, right?
Yeah, oh, definitely. It's just part of the political game. There's got to be something to talk about. And speaking of which, we have pretty much reached the end of today's program. My goodness, time certainly flies when you're having fun, as my mama also said. With just a few seconds left, let's start with Calvin. Any final thoughts for our distinguished radio audience today?
Yes, actually. One thing that I wanted to bring up and it would probably be a run over topic into the next show we do, but all the wildfires lately and the correlation of the locations of them and proposed data centers.
That would be a good topic, and we'll save that for next time. With Mr. Ramaswamy in Ohio, data centers have become a very hot topic. And Mike, any final thoughts before we turn the microphones off today?
Sure, it was a pleasure being on with you guys. I love agreeing and disagreeing. We agreed on the women's sports and transgender issue. We disagreed on marijuana. We did it amicably, which we need more of today. I miss the days of Bill Clinton and George H.W. Bush. We're best friends. Ted Kennedy and Warren Hass are all Reagan tip O'Neill. We need to go back to those days. And if I get my website out and my YouTube channel out one more time,
yes, MikeEssenShow.com.
And the Mike Essen Show, please like and subscribe on YouTube, please.
Okay, I looked at your website, Mike, and it's quite spiffy. I look forward to visiting it regularly. It's hard to say. I can't even say regularly, so I guess my mouth has pretty much run its course for today. I will bid you a fair adieu, adios, auf Wiedersehen, au revoir, and dos fedanias. Thank you very much for listening. Be sure to email me, adam@wwgh1071.com.